morning ties in with what we talked about last week and what I believe God is calling this church to do. We feel safe in here, I think, to some degree. Like I talked about the harbor. In the harbor, the sea outside beyond the breakers is rough, and it can be boisterous and all those kinds of things. And the water is calm in the harbor. But God never called the church to reside in the harbor. We're to be out in the waves doing work for the kingdom. And part of what we are going to be doing here is we are about to, we're still in just the planning, but I want for this church to do what God asked us to do in the Bible, and that's feed the hungry, clothe the naked, meet the needs of people. Amen? There's people that aren't going to come in to this sanctuary just because it's here. But when we begin to meet the need of the people through what the Lord has called us to do, I think God's going to begin to draw them. How many of you know that no man comes unless the Spirit of the Lord draws them? People say, well, I'll get saved tomorrow. I'll surrender my life tomorrow. Well, you're not guaranteed, number one, for tomorrow, and you're not guaranteed tomorrow that the Lord's going to draw you. It's the Spirit of the Lord. And this morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, message titled, Join the Feast. How many of you know you've been invited to a feast? In fact, Glenda made mention of a feast at the end of this month, the fifth Sunday. Our attendance seems to go up on fifth Sunday. You know why? Because there's food. I learned as a youth pastor that if you wanted a substantial amount of young people to come to your youth meeting, just let the word get out that you're having pizza. And they will come. They will come. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 15, if you'll stand with me while we read this, just out of honor for the Lord. And with all the things that are going on in our world today, and you and I, we as the church, have an awesome, not only opportunity, but responsibility to reach our world. We have an open door, if you will, that we can go through and tell folks about the love of Jesus. Our fifth Sundays are not just so that we can have food. It's so we can sit across the table from somebody and eat food together and fellowship and learn something about somebody that we might not know. Amen? Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then he said to him, A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, Come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask that you have me excused. Still another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind." And the servant said, "Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room." Then the master said to the servant, "Go into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." Father, I pray this morning, God, that as I share this message, this simple message, God, that you begin to ignite a fire inside of your people. God, that the busyness and the things of life would not become so predominant, so important in our life that we neglect the fellowshipping together one with another, that we neglect coming together to learn and to study and to hear your word, Lord, that we wouldn't allow the things outside in the world to be able to consume us and sidetrack us to the point where we just don't feel important. I got to check out these oxen that I've bought. I got to go look at this piece of ground. God, let us begin to just trust you with every area of our life and make you number one in our life, and all these things will be added unto us. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. We have a very huge responsibility according to God's Word. This is the invitation that should be out to one and all. And even though this parable originally was applied to Israel and its rejection of the gospel, it is applicable today to the church and to every believer that names the name of Jesus. I don't know why I feel the way I do, other than I feel like time is really growing short. And I've struggled all morning, and I don't even know what with. I just know that I've been struggling all morning, and I'm not going to stand here this morning and pretend to you like everything is great, because it's not in my spirit. But I know this much. I know that God's still in control. I know that God still has His message that He wants to go out. And I know that there's still an enemy that still wants to shut me up. But I refuse. I refuse. See, this walk that we walk is a walk of faith. I stand before you today as a miracle, a living miracle. I'm just a miracle. If you don't think God can work miracles, just cast your eyes up here. My wife will tell you, I'm a miracle. People that have known me for a long time can tell you that I'm a miracle. As children of God, we have a mark on us that the enemy comes after us. The subject of this parable is the day of the resurrection in future glory, which is the return of Christ when He brings all of His people into His heavenly kingdom. That could take place today, and I wouldn't be a bit bummed about it. Jesus went on to explain that God Himself, our Heavenly Father, the Heavenly Host of the the messianic banquet will offer the same invitation. We're going to that marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be a big deal. That's going to be a big deal. We're probably going to serve beans and soup. I'm just saying. But how many of you know if you're hungry, beans and soup's a pretty good deal? Along with the beans and the soup, maybe a shirt, a pair of socks, and a coat, and some pants to clothe them. Rhea, I'm believing that your stockpile is going to decrease. Not because people quit giving, but because people begin to realize what you have. The thing that I thought was great about the movie the other night was Pastor Chuck Smith, the pastor of Calvary Chapel down there, when his board members, the important people in the church, when the hippies started coming in, barefooted, messing up the concrete, or the carpet, we have concrete. We just pressure wash it, it's all right. Chuck Smith said, if it's a problem, we'll just take the carpet out. His solution was to wash their feet before they came into church. When we start serving the homeless people of the community, it could get a little messy around here. And you got to make up your mind. Are you going to be like Jesus and serve those that are less fortunate, or are you going to be offended and not want to help? Go check out your oxen. Go see your field. Jesus showed concern constantly for the poor, and He encouraged His followers to do the same. How many of you know this morning, as a child of God, you are His follower? He is challenging us. He wants us to show generosity toward others, even those who can't improve one's social standing or bring some financial gain. Those hippies, I thought about this during this movie, and I cried three or four times during it. But the hippies weren't the ones. In fact, the board member said, listen, the ones that are tithing and giving the offerings, we are, you know, when we start to leave, what are you going to do? Well, the hippies, I didn't see them giving great big offerings. But I also didn't ever see them lack. In fact, I just saw them continue to grow and grow and grow, and had to put a tent up because they couldn't hold them in the church any longer. I see that happening right here. I don't know if anybody else sees that happening, but I see that happening. I see it happening, but it's not going to happen until we begin to do what God's called us to do. This parable goes on to describe those who were initially invited by God, the Israelites, the children of Israel, and they turned His offer down because they were distracted by the cares of life. How easily do we get distracted by the cares of life? Buying and selling, marrying, giving in marriage, those who initially accepted the invitation but then refused to come, represent those who have accepted or appear to have accepted the invitation of Jesus to salvation, yet their love for Him and for the heavenly kingdom has grown cold. Church, we need to take our temperature. You need to take your temperature. In fact, the temperature of the church was taken this morning. I met someone this morning, never been here before to my knowledge, and the remark was, I've enjoyed myself from the very moment I walked in this place. That's the report. That's the testimony of the church. You can't work that up. That happens. Why? Because it's the presence of the Lord. People have ceased to set their goals on heavenly things. I thought this was just going to be a simple little message, but it's a little pointed, actually. Some people have ceased to set their goals on heavenly things. I got to ask you this morning as your pastor, where are your goals at this morning? What is it that you are seeking to attain? I admit that sometimes I get my goals a little bit out of whack. Hello. Pardon me? Well, that you make really good bean soup. Listen, if you have too much of it and you need somebody to try it, I'll try it for you, all right? I'll submit myself to that. I'm just saying. Church, the church. The church in so many ways has rejected the biblical admonition to set our affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. And I got to tell you this morning, I'm guilty of that myself. We strive for things that are earthly when we should be striving for things that are heavenly. And I admit to you today, openly before God and everybody, that I fall into the same trap. But it's days like today, it's moments like this, it's messages like this where the Holy Spirit of God begins to bring us back to focus. You ever look through a camera that wasn't focused and everything's just blurry? Until you begin to dial it up. And focus comes in and with clarity. You can begin to see. I pray this morning that we leave here seeing clarity with clarity. These guests decided that other matters were more important at the time. I have a field. I have these five yokes of oxen and even a spouse. The host was being snubbed. How many of you know these are lame excuses? Rarely would a person buy a field without having already seen it. You wouldn't go buy five yokes of oxen if you hadn't already tried them out. You just don't do that. These are answers were the result of preoccupation with material possession. The wedding wasn't a surprise to the man between the first and second invitations. He would have known about this commitment, and his intervening marriage would not have rendered him unable to come. Probably could have brought his wife with him. Just saying. It was no more than an excuse. Business and relationships are vital in a person's life, but they must never substitute for God's invitation. They must never become an excuse to put off doing what God's called us to do. If we're too busy doing stuff, we're too busy. I get too busy doing stuff sometimes. All of our pursuits, no matter how valid they seem, can rob people of the great celebration with Jesus. And you and I, church, we can't let anything stand in the way of following Christ. If there's stuff in your life and mine that would stop me or stop you from following hard after the Lord, we got stuff that needs to be removed, and it's not the Lord. This past week, I was told of people that have flat top grills that would love to cook for the multitude. I was going on a little road trip with Tammy yesterday up to Oakland. And I received a message from somebody that said, hey, I've got a licensed, certified food trailer. I'd love to help cook stuff. I got lots of pancake batter, they said. Somebody wants to bring some eggs. I thought about Gary and Linda. Somebody else wants to bring some meat. We can cook up a mean breakfast, and I'd love to just donate all this stuff. So the vision is going out, and people are beginning to respond. And I think that pleases the Lord. We gotta do whatever we can do. I don't know how it's going to work out. I'm not good at organizing meetings and all those kinds of things, but we need to start having some meetings to begin to take this message outside. Amen? I believe there's enough of us in this building today that some of you, God has given administrative skills, and you can set up meetings and then follow through. Amen. I'm terrible at it. You know what I learned? I'm not an administrator. I'm a preacher. I'm an evangelistic preacher, and I'm okay with that. But part of that has administration in it, and so God's bringing people around to help me in my weakness. I believe that. If you're here today, say amen. I didn't know there was that many of you, but I'm grateful. Church, today most of the Christian church is made up of Gentiles, and in Romans chapter 9 through 11 it talks about it, and it means that Gentile Christians should never take for granted our position in Christ. You realize how important your position in Christ is? Salvation has never been achieved, is never achieved because of your parents. Your salvation is never achieved because your parents go to church. It's never achieved because of the church that you attend. It's the free gift of God through faith in Christ. Sitting in this church won't make you any more a Christian than sitting in your garage will make you an automobile. It just doesn't work. There's got to be personal interaction. Every person has to accept the gift of God. Every person has to accept whether or not they will allow God to use them to further His kingdom. How many of you know this morning God wants to use every last one of you? Every last one of you. Every last one of you. Three times is a charm. Thank you, Lord. I knew if I kept hitting it hard enough, we'd get it sooner or later. This banquet was ready. The food had been prepared, but instead of abandoning the whole project, the host, the master of the house, sends his servant into the streets and into the alleys of the town to bring into the banquet hall the poor, the crippled, and the blind and the lame. In verses 13 and 14 it says, but when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So, it just needs to be known that we aren't going to go and feed the homeless in hopes that they will begin to tithe and bring offerings to the church. The very reason we're feeding them is because they can't. They represent the blind and the lame and the crippled. Many of them are veterans that we've just in so many ways kicked to the curb. And the church needs to step up. When God's people can do good without expecting reward or payment, they have truly served the Lord unselfishly. God will, in fact, reward those who willingly serve Him. Why? Because our generosity mirrors God's generosity. How many of you look in a mirror and realize God's been pretty generous with us? I look at myself in the mirror and I say, man, God, you've been pretty generous to me. Not only has He blessed me with stuff, He's blessed me with the most important stuff, and that's eternal life. He's blessed me with every one of you. That's a good place for an amen. I am blessed because you don't have to be here. There's other churches that you can go to. But you're here, and I'm grateful for that. While God offers His kingdom to everyone, those who accept are often the ones that seem so of so little value to the world. Yet no one at God's banquet, no matter what their status, no matter what their power on earth, can possibly begin to repay God for all He's done. You can't repay God for what He's done. All you can do is serve Him. And so the servant reported back that there's still room. How many of you know there's still room today? There's a lot of people in this place this morning, but there's still room. There's still room beside you guys. There's still room back there. There's still room. So there's still room. As long as there's room, which there'll always be room, we need to keep inviting. So the master dispatches the servant to go through the roads and the country lanes so to fill the house, and the story would seem scandalous to Jesus' audience because the Jewish religious people would never invite this group of people into their meetings. They would never do that. No ancient, wealthy person would ever invite the poor. This statement told Jesus' hearers that God's kingdom is especially for the poor. How many of you know that when you're well, you don't necessarily need a doctor? It's the sick that need the doctor. It's the lame that need the doctor. The words "compel them to come in" doesn't really mean to use force, but rather it means don't take no for an answer. How many times do we witness to somebody and we just hope they tell us that they're not interested so we can just go on? Because it's uncomfortable sometimes. We need to learn to not take no for an answer. People need to be compelled to accept this invitation because they're not used to being wanted at such occasions. How many times have we heard people say, man, I could never go to church, the roof would cave in. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever said that? No way I'd go to church, the whole roof will just cave right in. Well, it's a miracle! You're here today and the roof didn't fall in. Not a morsel of food is to go to waste. If the previously invited guests would not accept the hospitality of the master, then he would invite those that would. He would invite those that would. In Israel's history, God's first invitation came from Moses and the prophets. The second came from His Son. Jesus' listeners, the religious leaders, they accepted the first invitation They believed that God called them to be His people, but they insulted God by refusing His Son. Listen, just because it doesn't fit into what you think it ought to be like, don't mean it's wrong. They would miss the banquet completely because they refused to accept the Son's invitation. They wouldn't even get the smallest taste of what had been prepared for them. What a shame. What a shame. So the banquet, just as the master in the story sent His servant into the streets to invite the needy to this banquet, so God has sent His Son into the whole world for needy people to tell them that His kingdom has arrived and was ready for them. Church, one of these days, I'm not going to be in this pulpit, and you're not going to be in those chairs, but there's still going to be people outside wondering what happened. Where'd everybody go? I don't want to stand before God, and I don't want this church to stand before God someday and have to say, well, I just was too busy. If you're too busy, you're too busy. If you're too busy, you're too busy. In this story, many people turned down the invitation to the banquet because the timing was inconvenient. Anybody ever been asked to do something and it was just inconvenient? I certainly have. Just it's inconvenient. People today can resist or delay responding to the invitation that God has put out there, and our excuses might even sound reasonable. I've got work duties. I got family responsibilities. I have financial needs, and on the list goes. But God's intention is the most important, invitation rather, is the most important event in life. No matter how inconvenient it might be timed. Let me share one more scripture. John chapter 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. How sad is it going to be for people to stand in before the Lord having missed the opportunity? It's heartbreaking. If you'll get in your Word and look at... I mean, we like to look at what heaven's going to be like, and it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be awesome. But there is a flip side, and it's a place called hell, and people don't want to look at that much. But maybe if we did, maybe it would change how inconvenient God's call might be. Because when we really get a picture of hell and what it's like, we'll really be able to understand what it is that we are trying to get people away from, to be saved from. Jesus is the bridge. God's people play the most active role, play the most active role in salvation. He draws us. And when somebody chooses to believe in Jesus as their Savior, he or she does not only respond to the urging of God's Holy Spirit. God draws us. God does the urging, and you and I have to decide whether or not we're going to believe. And I pray today that with that decision, we don't just buy fire insurance. Amen? Because it's so much more than that. No one can believe without Jesus' help, without the Holy Spirit you and I make excuses to avoid God's kind and generous invitation sometimes. God has invited us. You know how I know? He said, go ye. Who's ye? All of us. Come on, Kathy and John. Jesus said, the time will come when God will withdraw His invitation and offer it to others. And it will be too late to get into the banquet. I'm reminded of the 10 virgins. They were all going to the supper, to the wedding. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They all knew where they were going. They all knew where the event was going to be held. They all knew. 5 prepared. 5 didn't. And when the door was shut, it didn't reopen. For 120 years, Noah constructed a boat, an ark, in the middle of a desert where it had never rained before. People laughed and made fun and all those kinds of things. But when it started to rain, and when the door was shut, as they pounded on the side of the ark to open the door, let us in, let us in. Noah couldn't open that door if he wanted to. Because God had shut that door. Church, we can't presume that I've got all the time in the world. Joshua said in chapter 24, choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The whole reason for this message this morning, church, was to encourage us. I'm not here to browbeat anybody. But I do want to encourage everybody. Get involved. Do something. Ask God, what would you have me do, Lord? How can I be a blessing? Maybe you need to just sit back this afternoon and ask yourself this question. Am I too busy? Have I allowed stuff to come between my relationship with the Lord and the world? Don't be like those that were invited to the feast and let the things of this world, the pursuit of riches or even fame or things, don't allow those things to take up the precious time that God wants to spend with you and I. Don't let stuff get in the way. Bow your heads with me this morning, would you? Maybe you're here today and maybe the Holy Spirit is revealing to you right this very moment . Maybe the Holy Spirit is drawing you right now, telling you, listen, I'm preparing a banquet. I'm preparing a feast. I'm preparing a place. And this morning I want to extend an invitation to you, because I don't see your name here on the list. But I'd sure love to have you at my banquet. In fact, if you'll accept my invitation, I'll go and prepare a place for you. Not only a place at the table, but a place in the kingdom. How do I do that, preacher? Well, in just a moment, I'm going to pray for you. I want to lead you in a prayer where we confess our sin. Not that you have to list your sin, that's not what I'm saying. But where you acknowledge that you're a sinner. And every sinner needs a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. And in John chapter 3, He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." He said in another place that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. That's what He said. He went so far as to say in His Word "I'll remember your sin no more forever." And He said in another place, "I'll cast your sin as far as the east is from the west." This morning He's knocking on your heart's door. See, Jesus doesn't take no for an answer sometimes, and I feel like this morning He doesn't want to take no for an answer. He wants to know that you know that you know that you've been saved. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but today I want to," I want to ask you to raise your hand right now. I want to pray with you. If you've never accepted the Lord, I'm asking you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. If you have ever accepted the Lord and stuff got in the way, you got too busy, you got drug away, you find yourself away from the Lord, out of covenant relationship with God, the Bible calls it backslidden. Listen, God even forgives being backslidden. As long as you're breathing. As long as you're this side of the dirt, there's hope for you and I. And today, if you realize maybe you're in a backslidden place where you know you need to be back in relationship with the Lord, today's your day. I want to ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. If that's you today, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all? Thank you, Lord. God, I'm thankful today that we are in a church where people are saved. Morning, though, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to well up in the hearts of your people and compel, not take no for an answer, to bring people into this house. Lord, I pray, God, for the homeless today. I pray, God, for wisdom on how to best meet their needs. God, I pray that you would raise up a team, God, that would represent You well, be a lifeline to the less fortunate. God, use this congregation, use this church to be Your hands and to be Your feet in this city. Father, I pray again for those that are sick today. I pray for decisions that are being made. I pray for healing in every life that needs Your touch. I pray for deliverance, Lord, for every person that has just been tormented and tormented and tormented. God, I pray You set them free. Lord, I pray, God, that You would give us a hunger for Your Word. I pray that You'd bring us all, every one of us, back tonight to hear Brother Anthony as he brings God's Word. I believe with all of my heart, church, that he's bringing a Word for this congregation. I believe he's bringing the Word of the Lord. And I believe that if we'll come, we'll be blessed. And God, I pray for Wednesday night, and I pray, God, that by Your Spirit, You'd fill this place again with people that are hungry to be discipled, to learn how your Word is relevant in their life, how we can take Your Word and use it outside to impact this city for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, for that I'm careful to give You all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you back here tonight at 6 o'clock. Amen. God bless.